viewpoint. And that's why he ended up betraying the Lord and becoming the one that betrayed Jesus Christ and took him on into, of course, the will of the Father, the dying on the cross of Calvary. But notice the desire of Jesus Christ, our perfect example, to do thy will, O God. To do thy will, O God. You'll notice these scriptures all point towards some type of emotion, excitement of mind, or passion. I mean, even Jesus's crucifixion sometimes is called the Passion of Christ. And so it's just the reality. Psalms 42, 1 and 2 says, "As the hart panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God?" Once again, panteth after the water brooks. It's talking about the great desire for a drink of water. Wow. So panteth my soul. Okay. We know the Bible talks about spirit, soul, and body. Keep that in mind as we're going through these scriptures. You will find reference in these scriptures about the desires of a servant that deal with the desires of the mind, the desires of the emotions, and even the desires of the body. And each one, of course, when, you know, Paul, when he was writing, he said, I want your spirit, soul, and body to be blameless. Hallelujah. To be blameless at the coming of our God, at the coming of the Lord. And so we see here then, even the writing in the Psalms is referring to my soul, which is the seat of the emotions. And so what is the desire? An emotion or excitement of the mind, a passion, excited by the love of an object directed in attaining that possession or possessing. Hallelujah. So emotions are not wrong. Emotions need to be put in check and producing desires towards God, not towards sin. Amen. Because you're going to find that when you look at a list of all the works of the flesh, you're going to find emotion and passion involved. So what is that? That's bringing every thought into captivity and subjection to Jesus Christ. That's a servant's desire. Hallelujah. That's a servant's desire. It's bringing this spirit, soul, and body under subjection to Jesus Christ so he can more or less take me and use me as a weapon in his hand. Wow. Woo, hallelujah. Have you ever thought about being a weapon for God? Come on. Hallelujah. A weapon for God? Yeah. Oh, that the devil would tremble when you come on the scene instead of laugh. Think about that. A weapon for an almighty God. Just something God could take and wield and use as he desires. Wow, that's a servant of the Lord right there. And it all starts with a servant's desire. Do you desire to be a weapon for God? Hallelujah, an instrument for the Lord. And so is there a great desire to have God ruling in your life? That's what Psalms 42 is talking about. Psalms 84 and 1, 1 and 2. How amiable are thy tabernacles, O Lord of hosts. Once again, my soul longeth, yea, even fainteth, for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh crieth out for the living God. Here we have a reference, if you will, to spirit, soul, and body. Hallelujah. And most of the time when we see the word flesh, we automatically think of the works of the flesh in Galatians chapter 5. But here the psalmist is not talking about the evil flesh. He's just talking about this body. What's he saying? Everything about me wants God. I'm sorry. I'm teaching. I'm not preaching. I just did that to wake somebody up if they were asleep. Praise God. Yeah, there we go. Gotcha. No. Hallelujah. So that's what he's saying. My soul longeth and even fainteth for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh crieth out for the living God. In other words, he's wanting God, spirit, soul, and body. Hallelujah. Is that not what the greatest commandment is? Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, all thy soul, all thy strength, and all thy mind. Hallelujah. Every part of me has to desire God. If it does not, I will find myself in sin, is where I'll find myself. Because if I do not desire God in every part of my life, then one part of my life is going to try to go to sin. So I got to keep it all under control of God. Woo, praise God. 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 2 and 3 says, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby, if so be that ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious. Has anybody received of God's grace? Has God graciously washed away your past sins? Has God graciously taken your place on a cross of Calvary? Then desire God's word that you can grow thereby. Hallelujah. The wonderful word of God. The more I read God's word, and the more I study God's word, the more emotion and excitement in my mind happens. Hallelujah. Because God's word is so explicit, talks about every facet of life, talks about anything and everything that I'm ever going to encounter in life. No, you may not be able to find it at that moment, but just keep reading it. It's all there. It's all there. I mean, just in studying these scriptures and these things I've put together and all the scriptures that are around all these scriptures, it's hard for me to just look at one scripture. I got to look at all of them in the front of it, behind it. And so, you know, it takes a little while to get through some of this. But the reality of the vastness of God's word and how Paul, when Paul wrote and he spoke to the churches and the circumstances and situations and the problems that they were having, and oh my, and how he just simply just totally addressed it and said, this is what you got to do. You'll never find in the scripture where Paul said, well, if you don't feel like it, you don't have to. He just talked to them about where they were living and said, okay, now this is where we're living, this is what God expects us to do in this circumstance, now let's do it. Praise God. You just thought I was the only one like that, didn't you? John 14, 15 through 17. Remember, desire, the passion excited by the love of an object. John 14, 15 says, if you love me, keep my commandments. I trust you realize he's not just talking about the Ten Commandments. But they do count. They do count. He's talking about the Word of God. He's talking about all the precepts. He's talking about everything. If you love me, do what I ask you to do. Praise God. Keep my commandments. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another Comforter, that he may abide with you forever, the earnest of our inheritance, the Comforter, the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Well, he's going to be with us forever. Praise God. Right now, we've just got a limited supply, as Brother Jason is talking about. Right now, it's only so much. But praise God, it's plenty enough. Hallelujah, because it's coming straight from heaven, coming straight from God, and it's the power of an almighty God. So compared to our frailty of humanity, we only need a small portion of what God has. Hallelujah, to be super, if you will. Amen. Not calling ourselves super Christians, but yet just a small amount of God compensates for a whole lot of weakness. Hallelujah. And so the Spirit of God is there for us. The Comforter is going to abide forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. Praise God. Glory. So now we're kind of moving to the source of this great desire that the servant of the Lord will have. It's not something that we can more or less make happen on our own by sheer determination. That's not where it comes from. We need to be determined. Don't misunderstand me. But it's not just our determination. It's his power working in us. Oh, yeah. Hallelujah. It's his power working in us. Glory. Because that comforter, that spirit of the truth, the truth, there we go. You're going to know him. Actually, he was saying, you know him right now. You've seen him in operation. I mean, even the writers of the New Testament made reference how that the Spirit of God came down in the form of a dove and landed upon him and rested upon him, and made reference how that he was anointed of the Holy Ghost and went about doing good everywhere he went. And so Jesus was saying, you know him, you've seen him, and he's dwelling with you and shall be in you. I want to do a little side note here that's not really in the notes. This may take 30 minutes, I'm not for sure, but no, I'm just teasing with you. The Spirit of God can dwell with you, and he can be in you. And we use the terminology, we need to be full of the Holy Ghost to really operate in the fullness of God. And I'm afraid sometimes we mistake the Holy Ghost moving on us for the fact then that makes us full. It does not. It does not. I'll know when I'm full of the Holy Ghost when sin is not my desire and my total desire is pleasing God. Then you will know you're full of the Holy Ghost. If you still got desires for sin, you are not full of the Holy Ghost of God, because the Holy Ghost does not desire sin. And so we've got to understand, just because the Holy Ghost manifests himself in the house of God and you sense that he's here and you feel good about it, does not mean you're full of the Holy Ghost. The only way you'll know if you're full of the Holy Ghost is when you are put to the test. Oh, yeah. I can't remember who made this and shared this, you know, and I heard this many, many years ago. And the test to decide if you're full of the Holy Ghost is when you are pressed against the wall and all that oozes out is a love of God. Then you'll know you're full of the Holy Ghost. But if you're pressed and your ugliness shows up, you're not full of the Holy Ghost. You still got a lot of you right there. That's where we got to realize. And that's where we got to decide and make the choice. Am I really full of the Holy Ghost? Or do I just feel good about God and I'm full of me? That's the difference here. And shall be in you. He's making reference here to leadership. He's making reference here to guiding. He's making reference here to revealing truth. He's not making reference here to being blessed. Don't misunderstand me. I love the blessings of God. I love the manifestations of the Holy Ghost. When excitement and joy fills our soul and we lift our hands, we lift our voices, and the Spirit of God begins to descend down upon us. It's at that point in time where we've got to make a decision whether we're going to let him in us or just be satisfied with. I'm fearful too many people are satisfied with just do not realize he wants in us. Because that's when the change is going to happen. That's when the desires are going to be rectified. That's when you and I will become that serious servant of an almighty God, when he begins to dwell in us in a fullness. Not just a partial letting him have what I want to let him have. I got to give him all. Got to give him all. Sometimes we don't realize we haven't given all. But then when he does manifest himself and he does fall upon us, that's usually what he talks to us about. The area that we really haven't given all in. Hallelujah. And this is why sometimes rejoicing can turn into weeping. Sometimes, a lot of times, the manifestations we're seeing is not manifestations of victory. It's manifestations of remorse and sorrow. Because I really haven't given him what he's been asking me for. And I'm sorry about it. I'm sad about it. And I weep and I cry. But good intentions are never going to get anything accomplished. Some point in time, I've got to surrender. To be a serious servant, my desire has to be surrender. Where does the source of this desire come from? I mean, how can people have these kind of desires? Well, they come from God. 2 Corinthians 5:17 and 18. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. See, we've used this in the very beginning because we've all been given this ministry of reconciliation. We've also, if we've been born again by the Spirit of God, we've also, all of us, have a new creature. And that new creature is, let's just move on here. Be in Christ, new creature, old things are passed away, all things are become new. Newness of life is what God's after. And what he's bringing in is things of God. I'm sure you've read in the scriptures where Jesus said you can't serve two masters. You're going to cling to one and despise the other one. You just can't serve two. You're going to have to make up your mind who you're going to serve. So we got to choose. It's back to that choice. See, what was that definition? That internal act which by influence and will makes us proceed to action. In other words, if I have a desire to please God, then I will start doing those things that I know please God. Praise God. Hallelujah. Colossians 3, 8 and 10. But now he also put off all these. Oh man, now he's meddling. I'm glad Paul wrote this and I didn't, because that way you can't get mad at me. You'll have to get mad at Paul. Said, put off. What? Put off. That means get rid of it, right? That doesn't mean just let it dangle out there just a little ways from me, so when I want it, I can have it back. Put it off. You know, we used to have bonfires, so we burnt that garbage we didn't need to be putting in our minds. You know, the CDs and the DVDs and, you know, I mean, it used to be bonfires, you know. Get rid of that stuff. I've got some more scriptures I'm going to share with you here in a minute. It talks about that. It does. God's Word's really, really amazing when you get into it and start reading it. Praise God. Put off the old man with his deeds. Yeah. What is the old man? Anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. Wow. That's what God put in His plan of salvation. When we confessed our sins and put our faith in the finished work of Jesus Christ and are born again by the Spirit of God, there is a miraculous encounter with a holy God where a new man is created. Hallelujah. But then Paul goes on to tell us, now that the new man's created, we got to put off the old man and his deeds and put on the new man that's renewed in knowledge after the image of Him that created him. So every knowledge that you're going to receive from the Word of God is going to bring you farther into your life becoming the image of the Lord Jesus Christ, the one that created that new creature inside of you, created him to become like him. Wow. Written epistles, read of all men. Hallelujah. That's the desire of God's plan. That's God's plan of salvation. I don't know what your plan of salvation is, but that's God's plan of salvation. That you and I be transformed into the image of the Lord Jesus Christ. Somebody, Brother Matthew said, I'm just a work in progress. Amen. That's correct. We're all a work in progress. I hope you're progressing well. Woo, hallelujah. Praise God. Oh, well, I'll not go there. I'll meddle if I go there. Praise God. Let's hold it down here to the teaching here. Renewed in knowledge after the image of Him that created him. So the renewing of our minds. Anybody read that in the Bible? Washing of the Word. Renewing our minds. Praise God. Because really, how you think is how you are. And how you think is where your desires are going to be. And so it's very, very important that I get renewed in my mind, that my mind is thinking the right things so that my desires will be upon the right things. Oh, wow. Look at that. The next scripture. Can you believe that, Brother Pepper put the next scripture talking about what you're supposed to think about? Can you believe that? Philippians 4, 8, and 9. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true. Well, that's the Bible. That's God's Word. Whatsoever things are honest. That's God's Word again. Hallelujah. Whatsoever things are just. That's God's Word. I mean, all these things. Whatsoever things are pure. The only way I'm going to know the definitions of all these things is according to God's Word, not my viewpoint. My viewpoint is darkness. God's viewpoint is light. Hallelujah. And so I've got to think, whatsoever things are true or honest or just or pure, lovely. Praise God. Whatsoever things are of a good report. Now we're talking about the testimonies of the saints. If there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Oh, praise God. Well, you see why? Because, well, I mean, we've got to be renewed in knowledge after the image of the one that created us. I'm not going to be renewed in knowledge in the image of Jesus Christ. If Arnold Schwarzenegger's my hero. Some of them don't even know who that is. I just revealed my age. Some of you do. You just revealed yours. Praise God. Woo. In other words, if your hero is some rap star, you're not going to be conformed to the image of Christ. No, if your hero is some baseball player, you're not going to be conformed to the image of Christ. You're going to be conformed to the image of that baseball player. You're going to want to be just like him. You want to throw like him. You want to play like him. It's not wrong to aspire to play good sports. It's wrong to make him your hero, because your hero should be Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Hallelujah. Because you should want to be just like him. That's a servant's desire. Hallelujah. So that's why we got to think on the true things, the honest things, the just things, the pure things, the lovely things, anything of a good report. If there's any virtue, if there's any praise, you got to think on these things. Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seeing in me, do. Notice he didn't say pray about. Because sometimes prayer is an excuse. He said, do. Yeah, if you've seen me do it, if I've taught it to you, you've heard about it, you've received it, you've seen me do it too. And the God of peace shall be with you. See, I want God with me. I don't want to have to try to find God. I want God with me. I don't want to have to wake up at a moment of trial or temptation. Where's Jesus? Where's my God? Oh, my. No, I want him right here with me. I want him in me. Praise our God. And so we see then we've got to think on the right things. And then we've got to act. Oh, yeah, there's that word, internal act. Influencing the will makes us proceed to action. Action. Hallelujah. Philippians chapter 3, verses 10 through 14. Talking about desire that I may know him. That I may know him. That I may know the power of his resurrection. That I may know the fellowship of his sufferings. Being made conformable unto his death. I shared scripture with you, I think it was last week, that talked about when you suffer in the flesh, those that suffer in the flesh have ceased from sin. See, sin doesn't transpire. Sin doesn't take place in the Holy Ghost. Sin doesn't take place in a new creature. Sin takes place in the flesh. And those that have suffered in the flesh have ceased from sin. So that gives us the insight of even wanting to be conformable even unto his death. Hallelujah. Wanting the fellowship of his sufferings, not wanting to be beat with a cat of nine tails, but if that's what it takes for you to overcome sin, I say go for it. Nobody said amen on that one. I guess nobody really wants to get serious, that serious about overcoming sin. That's kind of the problem in the church world today. Nobody really wants to get serious about overcoming sin. And nobody really wants to know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings. And they don't really want to be conformable unto his death, because that means death to self. That's what it's talking about. If by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead, not as though I already attained, either were already perfect. See, we are in progress here. But I follow after, if that I may apprehend. That means getting a hold of it. Not just always chasing it, having it. Having it. Woo. That for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended. But here we go. But this one thing I do. Action. This one thing I do. Forgetting those things which are behind. The past is gone. Cannot be erased, cannot be changed. Well, it can be erased. God forgets it if we confess it. I understand that. But it's the past. We can't change the past. But we sure can change the future. Reaching forth unto those things which are before. That's the future. Amen. So, this one thing I've got to do. I've got to forget the things which are behind. I've got to forget what it's past this moment in the past. And I've got to reach forth. And that word reach forth just literally means stretch just as hard and as far as you can to lay a hold of it. That's what that means in the Greek. It means stretching oneself to get a hold of something. Wow. reaching forth unto those things which are before. What's in front of us? God's word, God's directive, hallelujah, God's Holy Ghost, God's presence, God's power. Reaching forth to lay hold of what God is doing in these last days. Hallelujah. Just like what he was doing here this morning. Hallelujah. Did you reach forth? Did you reach in? Did you let him come in? Hallelujah. Or were you satisfied with, doesn't that feel good? God was in this house. Oh, God of heaven, reaching forth. Amen. To those things which are before, I press towards the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. You got to realize this is emotional. This is passion. Hallelujah. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. It's a high calling because God's ways are not man's ways. His ways are high above ours, far above ours. But he's saying, come up hither. Hallelujah. He's saying, draw nigh to me. And so we're seeing and realizing then that God is wanting us to be emotional, excited in our mind, and have a passion and a love for God, that we want more and more of Jesus instead of just singing about it. Well, I love that song. I do. I want more of Jesus. More and more and more. I mean, I've sung that song ever since I got saved 39 years ago. Hallelujah. And I still love to sing it. I love all the songs of Zion. I love to sing unto the Lord. I love to sing those things that stir my heart, stir my soul, and press me towards the prize, the high calling of the God in Christ Jesus. And then we're going to close here tonight with Psalms 19, verses 7 through 14. It says, the law of the Lord is perfect. That's awesome. The next phrase, converting the soul. Hallelujah. That passion, that emotion, that excitement. Converting it to where it's pointed towards God. Hallelujah. You may have never seen it. You probably have. Anybody in here ever went to a baseball game, basketball game, football game? And what do people do when their team scores?
Woo! Yeah, yeah, yeah! Go, go! Yeah! Woo!
You never seen that before? I'm glad. They get emotional, don't they? They get a little excited about their God, don't they? Yeah. Because that's what it is. Most of it's idolatry. Because they are more excited about that team than they are about an almighty God. Yeah. How do you know that, Brother Pepper? Because they'd rather go to a ball game than come to the house of God. You see, the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. It's bringing those emotions and those passions and those excitements of the mind, those desires, and brings them and then puts them towards God. I don't know if you've ever read there in the scriptures where Paul said, as ye yielded your members to unrighteousness, now yield your members to righteousness. In other words, you know, like a 180-degree turnaround. I used to live for the devil, and I used to plummet into sin, and I used to fulfill all the lusts of my flesh, but now Jesus Christ has saved me, and so now I am plummeting myself into righteousness, using this body for God's glory, purifying my mind to the things of God, and I am going the right way now. And I'm doing it just as hard going for God as I did for sin. But what I survey most of the time when it's people I've known, they ain't nowhere near doing as hard for God as they did in their sin. I don't know what it is about people's mind frame, but they think when they get saved and when God's involved, you just got to be quiet and reverence and you know, just you can't get loud in church. You might wake somebody up. Praise the Lord. Are you getting the picture? Converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. In other words, wisdom is not so much intelligence, so to speak. Wisdom is knowing when to do right and doing it. You don't have to be a Bible scholar to do right. But you do have to be wise. Hallelujah. And so we see, just the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. Isn't it amazing? Doesn't the Bible say somewhere that a merry heart worketh like a medicine? Wow. So if God's statutes for the servant brings a merry heart, well, that's going to be like a medicine. Praise God. You can't go through Christianity in misery. You'll get sick. Spiritually sick. Probably physically sick too. I don't know. That's not God's desire. God's desire is that everything about Him would bring a rejoicing to the heart and not a misery. Oh, wow. The commandment of the Lord is pure and enlightening the eyes. So, I mean, we use the terminology, open my eyes, Lord. I want to see Jesus. Open my eyes, Lord. I want to see where I'm lacking. Open my eyes, Lord. I want to see where I'm slack at. Because most of the time we cannot see really where we're at until Jesus opens our eyes. Enlightening the eyes. Hallelujah. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. So in other words, basically, what God says is the right thing. And it's righteous. God's way is always the right way. Praise God. More to be desired. There's that word. Amen. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord, they're right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. And all of this is more to be desired than gold, yea, even fine gold. Wow, what is that? Covetousness. Sweeter also than honey in the honeycomb. Whoa, man, that's the flesh. Moreover, by them is thy servant warned, and in keeping of them there is great reward. Who can understand his errors? Cleanse thou me from secret faults. See, there's nothing that's really hid from God. When the Bible says, be sure your sins will find you out, it's because God knows all about it. You may not even know it. You may not even want to admit it. And there may be secret things there in your heart and secret faults that nobody else knows about, but God does. And His Word's going to begin to reveal it to us. He's going to begin to warn us about it. Keep back thy servant also from presumptuous sins. Presumptuous is pride, self-viewpoint, justifying what I'm doing by my own means. Presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me. Then shall I be upright, and I shall be innocent from the great transgression. Praise God. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Wow. In other words, what I talk about and what I think about, let it be acceptable in your sight. Wow. Glory. You see, if I am serious about what I'm saying, and I am serious about what I think about, and I am serious about doing what is acceptable and pleasing to God, and it's all motivated by desire. By desire. The emotion or excitement of the mind. The passion excited by the love of God. That directs my paths to obtain His pleasure. And possess His presence in my life. That's a servant's desire. That's the child of God's way of life. Hallelujah. That's where joy is found. That's where peace is found. That's where pleasure is found. I mean, that is where the gladness of serving the King is found, in a servant's desire. Praise God. Could I have a piano player tonight? You see, a servant's desire is that the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in the sight of my God. Because He is my strength and He is my Redeemer. He's the one that says heaven or hell. He makes the call. And He makes that call based not on what men might see. He makes that call on what He sees. I don't remember the name. What was the name of the guy that made it to the gate, but he didn't have the scroll? Was it Presumptuous? Is that his name? What was his name? This is just something I thought you might remember, because I don't. But he got all the way to the gates. And he thought he was going to get in by his good works, and what he thought he had accomplished. But he hadn't come in by the way of the gate. He hadn't received his scroll. He hadn't received the piece of paper that said he would be accepted. And when he got there, he was just so sure he was going in. And all he found was, "Depart from me, ye worker of iniquity," and was cast into hell. You see, it's not a matter of knowing who Jesus is. It's a matter, does Jesus know who you are? Have you made His acquaintance? And have you had that new creature created inside? Hallelujah. Are you pressing forward with the right desires now? Because He may have already done His part. He may have gave that new creature. And He may have gave that newness of life. But then if we're not careful, then we begin to neglect our salvation. We begin to lose that power. And we begin to lose that desire. Was that not one of the first things that He mentioned at the churches at Ephesus in the book of Revelation? Thou hast left thy first love. What is that? That's desire. That's desire. A servant's desire has to be love for Jesus Christ more than anything else. More than anybody else. That's what's going to make me love everybody and keep my path free from wrath and my soul satisfied. Praise God. Let's stand together. Hallelujah. Praise be to our God. Oh, Father in heaven, it's our desire, Lord God, for You to continually work in our hearts, in our minds, in our souls. Hallelujah. Giving us that servant's desire. Oh, that desire Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior, had. Lord God, we are endeavoring, Lord God, to draw nigh unto you, Lord God, to grow in your grace, to grow in your knowledge, to grow in your word, God, to grow in your ways. Let your Holy Ghost, Lord God, move upon our hearts and upon our souls, Lord, here this very night, taking us deeper, Lord, taking us higher, O God. Oh, Lord, revealing things unto us, O Lord, that you desire to transform in our lives. Oh, Father in heaven, we rejoice in your goodness. We rejoice in your mercy. We rejoice in your kindness. God, it's a great plan of salvation. We thank you, Lord, for all the provisions that you have granted unto us. Lord, help us to lay hold of it, Lord, with all of our heart, all of our soul, all of our strength, all of our minds, O God. Blessed be your holy name. Hallelujah to the King. Oh, these altars are open tonight. Let us come. Let's find us that place. Hallelujah. Let's build that altar unto the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's survey. Where's our desire? What kind of desire? What desires are really dominating our mind and our lives tonight?